up, angels? It's your girl, Adine Howard. Make sure you tune in to the Honey Lounge with Teddy Bear, Tuesday through Friday, 1 through 7 p.m. Central Standard Time.
My hope is that we can get an EP out in the summer. I think it's one of those times where things are a bit uncertain, but the world definitely needs art and needs music, and that's what's beautiful about this time, that I think creatives are really being embraced, and people are just excited to hear more music. So I've already had my EP recorded for quite some time now. We're just taking our time making sure that the packaging and the rollout is right, but it's definitely going to be out this year.
Well, number one, I want to say congratulations and kudos to the video, the cinematography, and the entire concept of the video is incredible, but with you, the way that you illuminate yourself on it is simply incredible. So I have to know, and I know the listeners would love to know, who came up with the concept of the video?
It's crazy because I'm really, really flattered when I hear people say how much they like the creative direction and the aesthetic direction of the video, because it was my vision, and we shot that with about a week's worth of prep. My manager told me to come up with an idea for a trailer, and it was going to be like a one-minute clip that was just promoting the single. You know, it wasn't going to be a music video. But when I showed her kind of what I had in mind and where I wanted to shoot it, which, you know, is a big part of the aesthetic, just the design of that studio, she was just like, I think that you should, you know, shoot it for the whole song and kind of, you know, just take advantage of the fact that you're going to be there. Because it was something we shot all in one day. And I directed it, I edited it, I colored it. So everything that people are seeing, it really is a very, very small scene of no more than eight people, and it was magical on set. It was an uphill battle after it, learning the programs of editing and coloring to get it to that part. But I felt like God was just operating in so many ways in the midst of all of that, from him giving me that idea and that vision, a lot of my inspirations being facts and Ronnie from Players Club and Little Kim. And I feel like those are all of the things that people are falling in love with again in the video.
It must be very gratifying to know that you were able to show so many listeners and loyal followers who support your music to show them that creative side of you, because I noticed that you do have a very creative side of you. My thing is, by doing so many different things as far as the modeling is concerned, because modeling and fashion is, they've always been a part of music since, you know, since the beginning, so to speak. How have you been able to kind of balance both and be able to spend time in the studio as far as being able to create music?
Well, I think my response to that would be that, one, I think I'm really blessed that these two different creative fields, as you say, they work well together. They work hand in hand. You know, unfortunately, I would say that visual branding has become even more important than the music. That's why I think we have so many people in the industry that are famous, that are well-known, and they might not have, you know, the musical talent to accompany, but because people are drawn in by the visual, they feel really connected. And so I think I'm really blessed that both of those sides of me get to build fashion and music. And then I also feel like I'm just like any other person that is trying to balance different parts of their life. And I have really, really great people around me that keep me grounded. So when I'm too caught up in one thing, I have people around me that say, hey, you need to focus on this too. When it came to getting the EP done, it was like I was releasing all these medleys, and that's kind of how I was going viral before I put out my single. And people were just seeing the medleys, you know, that I was releasing, which were a production in itself. But what they weren't seeing is that really I was in the studio recording the project. And the project, I had to record a lot more songs than the songs that we ended up choosing for the EP. So it's like, I have to say that I am no different than anyone else that in any other profession that is trying to balance what they do. I think, you know, you have people that are parents right now that are balancing work with being a teacher at home. And it's all like this act of balancing, no matter what your profession is. So I try to keep people around me that can help me be grounded and focused and stay on task and just balance all these creative stuff. But I'm definitely the kind of person that I get bored. So I like being able to jump in and out of songwriting to singing to directing the video, like you saw.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the great things about being a creative aspect, being a creative in general, is because you never allow yourself to become thin in just doing one thing. And I notice about your music that I've always said there's a major difference between being a singer and a vocalist. And I definitely say that you're a vocalist. And I wanted to ask you, how important is it to you to show the listeners out there that, hey, look, you know, it's one thing to get in the studio and you have the production aspect and you can put the quote-unquote bells and whistles or a quote-unquote auto-tunes, but I want to show people that I'm actually a vocalist. How important is it to you as an artist to be able to show that part of you?
Okay, I'm sorry, Teddy, to interrupt, but someone is tweeting me, and they're saying that they're having a hard time finding where they can listen, because they're saying Spotify only lists yesterday's episode. So where can I tell them to listen? I'm wondering if they're in the LA area.
Then no problem. What they need to do, they can sit up here. The show is being recorded live right now, but if they just go straight to Blog Talk Radio, where we're at right now, they can tune in live. It's also streaming through iHeartRadio and Spotify. So as soon as the program is completed, then they can listen to the entire show as far as the pre-recorded show after the interview. But they can tune in right now and listen live to the show right now on Blog Talk.
All right. So I just responded to them. But to answer your question about being a vocalist, I saw when you sent the flyer, and I thought it was so interesting at the time that you chose to use the word vocalist instead of singer. And in my mind, I was like, I wonder why he chose to use vocalist instead of singer. So I'm happy that you're getting a chance to tell me personally why. And it's for all the reasons that I even decided to start singing. My family is Guyanese and Bajan, Caribbean. That's the side of my mom's side of the family. And so they were obviously soca and reggae and calypso. Those are like the core sounds of that culture. But when they migrated to the United States, and I was moving from Britain, and I just remember being a young child, you know, obviously they weren't completely immersed in American culture, but I remember my aunt telling me two things, that the two women that I needed to know if I wanted to sing were Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey. And 20 years have passed since that time that we probably had that conversation, and nothing has changed. The biggest things that they wanted me to know is that these women really sang, you know. And they weren't just singers. They were what you would say, vocalists, you know. Aretha Franklin, a vocalist. Patti LaBelle, a vocalist. Anita Baker, a vocalist. And I think from that young age, just learning that vocals were put in a different category and what they were able to do with their voice, how they were able to touch people, there was something about that I was just like, if I'm going to learn how to sing, I want to be a vocalist, you know? And because I understand the distinction between being an incredible live performer or an incredible dancer or, you know, a personality, but I think all of that definitely is secondary to me after being a vocalist. You know, and I songwrite. I write all of my music. The music on my EP I wrote as well, and I've written for other people. I've been in writing camps and things of that nature. But being a vocalist, when I hear what you can do with that instrument, I just feel like I listen to Whitney and Mariah, and they touch people in a different way. All of my favorite singers, that's what I noticed. They're all vocal. I think that's what it means so much to me.
Well, it definitely resonates in your music. And for those who are tuning in late, shame on you. But the teddy bear does forgive you. Joined this afternoon by the super talented Louise Chantel, of course, with her new hit single, along with her wonderful, yes, Lord, captivating video, Put It On You. So I must ask, Put It... The video is very self... Lord have mercy. The video is very self-explanatory, but I must ask you, you have a very fun-loving, very bubbly personality, and I love that about you, just having an opportunity to converse with you. But the video shows a completely different side of you. It's very, very sensuous, very exotic, very somewhat erotic. Is that a little peek of the other side of who Louise Chantel is?
You know, it's so funny because I think my family knows Chantal, and my family will always be like, that's Chantal, but when it comes time to perform, they're like, bring out Louise. So I definitely feel like Louise is a person that comes out on camera, but I think just being grounded and humble and kind of a good person is not always on the diva set, you know? That's what I liked about Whitney Houston and Mariah. It was like, they were divas, but it's like, you got to know when to just be real with people and be authentic and connect.
It's okay, family. We lost Louise just for a hot second. It's okay. We're going to get it back on the line. And remember, family, the new hit single, Put It On You, is available as we speak at Google Play, Spotify, iTunes. And if you're feeling a little bit bored, Richard, you can always head over to Amazon.com. We have the princess back on the line. There you are. We lost
yes,
it just for...
Sorry, I don't know what happened, but it cut me off.
We found you. You're here. You're safe and just like blindness is blanket. We got you. We got you. I love the video. I love
yes.
the new single. My question is this, and I ask every artist of this question, is that music is, a lot of people that really are not invested in this music, they look at it as they're running a 100-yard dash, and they're not looking at it as a marathon. At the end of the day, how do you want to be looked upon or be respected as an artist as far as making sure that you have longevity in this industry? How important is it to you?
It's funny, but I spoke about it many times with a couple of people that I work with. I had looked up, I was reading a book on Whitney Houston's life, and I saw that she released her debut album the same day that I released my single, and it took her 52 weeks to go number one. And I just thought, like, wow, it took a year for her album to go number one in an industry now where it's like singles are throwaway, music is a throwaway. If it doesn't hit immediately, if it doesn't go viral on the first post, like people are very quick to abandon it or to say it's not working. But it took Whitney Houston, like the vocal, like the top, you know, of all time. Like it took her a year of working the same project to go number one. And I think now when we look at her legacy 20 years after, like just so much time has passed, we're not thinking about how quickly certain things happen. You know, very few people would even know that random statistic, but we're just thinking
right.
about the lasting impact that she has made. And so I guess I think I don't want to be the kind of artist that puts out just a ton of things to stay relevant or to feel like I'm always pumping something out. I care more about what I'm sharing and why I'm sharing, and I care about the quality. I care about how it makes people feel. I care about whether or not it's a representation of me and whether or not I feel like it's something that I could be proud of. And I know that's not easy with artists because I feel like we go through stages of being like, do I like this? Do I love this? Oh my God, it's good, you know? Because you don't really get to see how people feel about it until after you've shared. So very few people get to be in that creation incubation process. So I guess I'd like to be purposeful about the things that I create and what I share and what message it's sending, and be ambitious in a commercial sense, like strive to do well, strive to sell, but to just put the purpose and the quality and the art first, and then worry about all that other stuff. And I feel like when I look at the acts that I love the most, you know, the ones that I've told you about, they've had commercial success, they've toured in stadiums and arenas and done the Super Bowl, but I don't think they compromised their art or what they stood for, or what they were promoting in the process. And I think that's why I keep referencing Whitney and Mariah, because they're truly the best examples of that for me.
You know what? What you just said, and I'm going to put it as far as pinpoints, what you just said, really, it caught me off guard, as me, in a very positive aspect, is that in today's music, and I'll just reference this to a lot of the younger listeners, they want instant gratification. They want things that have nothing to do revolving around substance and meaning anymore. And everything has its time and its place. And to hear you say these things, I say, you know what, that gives me hope that, you know what, there are artists like you who still have a clear understanding of what it means to be an artist, to put something out that has substance, where you're actually saying something in your music, because like I said before, it's not a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon, because everything that you release is a part of you. As I call it, your baby. You're just not going to sit up here and just put something up that does not have any meaning or substance behind it. And it really makes me feel good. And I wanted to ask you from that standpoint, as far as making you feel good, what has it been like for you to hear so many positive feedback that you've been getting from the new single, Put It On You?
I guess I think it makes me feel like the time and energy that I spent perfecting the quality meant something, because I went under such a long process of transformation to move towards a sound that I felt my audience would be really connected with. And I experimented in a range of a lot of sound, alternative R&B. I've had EDM records. I've had folk song. Like, I've just explored through all of the sounds I could possibly venture into. And I felt like I was called to make a contemporary R&B record. That's why I did that. That is what my audience wanted. That's what the Black woman wanted from me. That's what the gays wanted from me. That's what all of my fan base, I felt like they really, really wanted me to make an R&B record that they would love. And it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. But when I hear them say, no, I really love the production, or wow, I really love what's happening with your voice, it's like, oh, okay, so those hours that I spent in the studio, like mixing or mastering or sitting with the producers, like, it matches, because people feel moved. When something moves them, you can't really fake that, you know? So I guess I'm grateful.
Well, we're grateful to have you on the show. So far be it from me to deprive so many listeners of some music with substance that's going to make you want to move. Incredibly talented Louise Chantal with her new hit single, Put It On You.
See, I gotta thank you.
coming on.